This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
Today, inshallah, we'll discuss a very beautiful, interesting, very fascinating incident from the seerah, one that I know a lot of people are always fascinated about. It's a topic that every single person is interested in. It is the incident in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interacted with the believing jinn. This is the only time that we know of that he had an interaction with a group of believing jinn. And it is called the night of the jinn, Laylat al-Jinn. And today, inshallah, let's just summarize some of the benefits we can gain from that story from the seerah. It's reported in the Sahih Imam Muslim that Alqama, one of the famous tabi'een, he died 103 Hijrah. Alqama asked his sheikh, his teacher Ibn Mas'ud. He said to Ibn Mas'ud that, "Oh Ibn Mas'ud, were you present with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night of the jinn?" Now, this question, first and foremost, we are so jealous in a halal manner of people like Alqama, who could quiz the Sahaba, eyewitnesses. How we wish we could interact with those who interacted with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask them more detailed questions. Of course, now we have what we have. We cannot get any more questions, right? So Alqama is asking directly. And this shows us that, subhanAllah, they knew the seerah, he knew the light night of the jinn. So he's asking him a very specific question. And we learn from the seerah, from our books of history, the sahaba would say, and the tabi'un would say, we would teach our children the seerah, they called it maghazi, we would teach our children the seerah like we would teach them the Qur'an. So they would teach them about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Alqama was well aware of what happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he wants more details. So he asks his teacher is Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud is one of the first converts. He's the seventh convert. He's one of the first 10 who converted to Islam. And alhamdulillah, Alqama is able to interact with him, right? So he says to his teacher Ibn Mas'ud, this is in Kufa, he says, "Oh Ibn Mas'ud, did you attend the night of the jinn with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" So Ibn Mas'ud then gives us more details, right? Alqama knew the basic story. Now Ibn Mas'ud tells us a little bit more. He said, "No, none of us attended with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody was there when he interacted with the jinn." Now, this then leads us to another issue. There are some narrations which are in Tabarani and other, you know, tertiary sources in which it seems that some of the Sahaba were present. In fact, this has led to a long discussion. How many times did the Prophet interact with the jinn? Some scholars said it happened 2 times, once in Mecca, once in Medina. Some scholars said 3, some said even 6 times. However, Allah knows best. All of those other reports are actually very weak. Actually, it's a very bizarre report. So in Tabarani, it says that the Prophet took Ibn Mas'ud. This is not an authentic report. And he drew a line in the sand. And he said, "Stay within this line. Because if you exit the line, I will not see you until the day of judgment." Then the Prophet went forward. Then Ibn Mas'ud has a bizarre description. These entities came, you know, cloudy faces. He went lost into them. So it's a mythology. It's not the actual authentic hadith, right? The authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, Ibn Mas'ud said, none of us were present. So Allah knows best. It appears that in the entire seerah, only once did the Prophet have a live interaction with a group of believing jinn. Now, the Quran references this. Where does it reference it? Surah Al-Ahqaf and also Surah Al-Jinn. So this leads us to another issue. You should be aware, the Quran mentions 2 interactions, 2 groups of jinn that interact with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surah Al-Ahqaf, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. We caused a group of jinn to go in your direction, and they heard you recite the Qur'an. This is in the Qur'an, Allah tells us, right? that a group of jinn happened, or we caused them to wander in your direction. In the end of the day, Allah chooses where, you know, people are going. The jinn didn't know this is going to happen. Allah said, we knew it was going to happen. We caused it to happen. So when they heard you recite, قَالُوا أَنصِتُوا, they said, be quiet. This is something new. We never heard this before, right? فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ, when you finished it, تَوَلَّوْا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ, they returned to their larger group, warning them, having embraced Islam. قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى. They said, oh, our people, we have heard a new book that has been revealed after the book of Musa. It is guiding to the truth and it is guiding to righteousness. Oh, our people, respond to this new message. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you and save you. So the Quran is very clear. Now, when did this happen? Again, we are not 100% certain. However, it appears that it happened on the night of Ta'if, after the Prophet was returning from Ta'if back to Mecca. And we know what happened in Ta'if, right? And we know that he was rejected in Ta'if in a very brutal, very mocking manner. And before he entered Mecca, he camped outside Mecca for a night. And he had to send Bilal to see who would allow him to get back into Mecca. This is a story that is in the seerah, that because Abu Lahab had told him that he is not allowed to enter to Mecca. And so he didn't have what we call the visa. He didn't have a permission from the tribe. So he sent to other tribal members, because the Banu Hashim boycotted him. The Banu Hashim, after the death of Abu Talib, the Prophet became the heir, the person in charge was Abu Lahab, right? Abu Lahab was Banu Hashim's chieftain. Abu Lahab initially agreed that the Prophet can remain in Mecca. Then an incident happened and he said, go find your way. I'm not going to keep you under Banu Hashim. So that's why he went to Ta'if, to see if another tribe can adopt him. The other tribe rejected, as you know. He came back, he then sent Bilal. The story is long, we're not going to go there. But that was when Aisha herself asked the Prophet, was there a day that was more difficult for you than the day of Uhud? He said, yes, the day of Ta'if. In the entire seerah, perhaps this day was the day that it felt the worst. And he himself told Aisha radiallahu anha this. On that day, Allah Azza wa Jal sent him a group of jinn. Our scholars say there is a symbolism here. Ya Rasulullah, even if the people of this earth shall reject you, the people of the jinn shall accept you. You will have an audience that will believe in you. Don't give up hope. Even if you think there's nobody here, even in Alimul Ghaib, there are those that are going to accept you. So there's actually a profound symbolism to when this incident occurred. That at the lowest of the low, when he felt at the time that he has no one other than Allah Azza wa Jal, when his Abu Talib had died, Khadija had died, the people of Mecca rejected him, the people of Ta'if rejected him, where is he going to go? On that night, he stood up outside of Mecca praying Salat al-Fajr, right? And he recited Quran out loud. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَبِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا سَمْعَ حَضَرُوا قَالُوا أَنصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal told him, because the Prophet did not know this happened. Allah told him, the jinn embraced Islam because of you on that night. Now, which surah? Ahqaf. Surah al-Jinn. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. Say, it has been inspired to me that a group of jinn have listened to the Qur'an. Right? And then the whole Surah Al-Jinn is about them being astonished. The heavens used to be open. وَإِنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمِعِ. We used to go up and listen. Now the doors are shut. Right? So is this another group of jinn? Or is it the same group of jinn? This is a question that our scholars of tafsir have answered. In the end of the day, this is alimul ghaib. We cannot interview the jinn to know which one. Allah knows best, but it appears it is the same group. And in the first, we hear about their conversion and they go back. In the second, we hear some of the conversation between them taking place. Because they're the ones amongst themselves saying, now we understand why the doors have been shut. right? So it appears, and Allah knows best, it is the same incident. What further adds to this is that both of these surahs are late Makki surahs, okay? Surah Al-Ahqaf and Surah Al-Jinn are late Makki surahs. So they're revealed in a similar time frame. Therefore, Allah knows best, it appears that this was one incident in the seerah that took place in the late Meccan stage. It took place after the Battle of Ta'if, which means it took place, not the battle, the incident of Ta'if, which means it also took place after the death of Khadija, which we're going to show you, inshallah, why that also makes sense. And it took place 2 years before the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, after Isra and Mi'raj and before the hijrah. So we move on now. Alqama says to Ibn Mas'ud, were you present on the night of the jinn? By the way, the fact that he says the night of the jinn shows they understood it was one night. He didn't say the night of the jinn in Mecca versus the one in Medina. No, he asked the night of the jinn. So this is another evidence that, and Allah knows best, that there was only one night in the entire seerah where this happened. Ibn Mas'ud said, no, I wasn't there, but I know what happened. I know, you know, the story from a third party's perspective. He said, one night we couldn't find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we searched the entire city, and even we went to the Awdiyah, the valleys outside Mecca, and we could not find him. We began to feel the worst had happened, in one narration, that he had been assassinated. That word actually occurs, right? So it shows us that the Sahaba were very worried. The Prophet ﷺ is missing. They cannot find him. There is a regular contact and relationship. All of a sudden, he is missing. So they send out search parties discreetly. It's still Mecca. They cannot go public. And they're going here and there. What's going? So he said, we spent the worst night of our lives. Their iman was so high. Their love was so high. They can't find the Prophet ﷺ. Their imagination, their anxiety, the worry. We spent the whole night in worry. شَرَّ لَيْلَةٍ. This also shows us, by the way, Allah knows best, there's an indication that there is no Khadija in the story, right? Because if you are married, right, as we all know, you do not just stand up and leave. They could have gone to Khadija, where is he? And Khadija would have known. But at this point, the Prophet ﷺ is now a bachelor. There is no wife, there is no family. And bachelors have a lot more freedom than married people do. Guys, that was a joke, okay? Bachelors can do what they want to do, they can go where they want to go, nobody knows where they are, right? So Ibn Mas'ud, there is no family to go to. There is no wife to ask. There's nobody that he's going to tell these minute details. So they cannot find him. The whole night they spend, and they cannot find him. Then they said, after Fajr, we saw him coming from Hujun, from the area of Hujun. Hujun is a famous street in Mecca. It's a very famous area in Mecca. Everybody knows, these days we call it a street, but it was an area in Mecca. So they said, Ya Rasulallah, where have you been? We spent the worst night of our lives. Where did you go? And they're trying to a little bit chastise. They're a little bit, it's understandable. They love him out of love. Ya Rasulallah, we were searching for you. So he said, Atani atin min al jinn. In another version, da'i min al jinn. One of the da'is, one of the people of the jinn, they came to call me. And therefore, I left to go to Hujun area. And that's why you couldn't find me. That's why you couldn't find me. I was with them. This is not a place you would have gone and looked to. Now, where is this place? This place in Mecca today, it is called Masjid al-Jinn. It is called Masjid al-Jinn. And it is on the Hujun area. And it is outside of the graveyard of Mecca. It's called Mu'alla, right? Mu'alla is the graveyard of Mecca, in which Abdul Muttalib is buried, and Abu Talib is buried, and the Prophet's son is buried, and most importantly, Khadija is buried. This is the graveyard of Mecca, Mu'alla graveyard. Literally outside, in fact, if you go there today, the graveyard finishes, there's a major road, the masjid is there. Literally, it is like 10 feet from each other. That place is called Masjid al-Jinn. It's called Masjid al-Jinn because that's where this incident took place, right? So he said to Ibn Mas'ud, come, I will show you their remnants, their athar. So he took Ibn Mas'ud and perhaps other companions, we don't know who else was there. And Ibn Mas'ud said, we saw the remnants of the fire and the camp or the whatever they had left, the athar of the fire that they had built there. This shows us very interesting things. Of them is that, well, why are they in Hujun? Why are they over there? So generally speaking, the jinn do not like the interactions with human beings, generally speaking. Contrary to popular opinion and myth and whatnot, jinns don't want to be around the activities of men. We are too noisy for them. We irritate them. They want to be on their own. So they go to places that are abandoned. What is the most abandoned place of any city and society? It is the graveyard. Nobody lives there. Nobody goes there. So the jinn actually appreciate the emptiness of the graveyard, which also brings out why graveyards are so sometimes scary for people as well. Because perhaps in reality, there is a circular loop here, right? That the graveyards do become a place where even in popular society, in all cultures, graveyards are places where spooky things happen, whatnot, right? In reality, there might be an element of truth that actually the jinn do like to go there. The reason they go there is not because of the dead, it's because in any city, in any place, the most abandoned is always the graveyard. So they like that for their peace and serenity, and the Prophet ﷺ came to that area of Hujun. This also shows us that the jinn sometimes erect camps, and the jinn benefit from the fire of this world. Even though they are created from a type of fire, still the fire benefits them. So they still lit a fire, and the remnants of that fire could be seen by Ibn Mas'ud. We don't know many details about what happened that night, but the Prophet ﷺ spent the entire night, at least 7 hours, right? So when he was about to go to sleep, he would go to sleep right after Salat al-Isha. So he said, before I went to sleep, somebody came to me. And he spent until Salat al-Fajr, the entire night he spent with them. So this entire night, what happened? We do not know. There were no eyewitnesses. None of the Sahaba were there. The jinns do not tell us. We just have a few tidbits in other ahadith that we discover. Of them, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Surah Ar-Rahman from beginning to end, and the Sahaba listened, mesmerized, quiet. When he finished reciting Surah Ar-Rahman, he said, "Why didn't you respond? For by Allah, I recited Surah Ar-Rahman to the jinn on the night of the jinn, and they responded better than your response." The Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, what was their response? The Prophet ﷺ said, every time I said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, you know, it occurs, you know, 32 times or 34 times in the surah. Every time I said this, the jinn responded, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعْمَةِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبُ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. We do not reject any blessing from Allah. O Allah, we thank you for these blessings. Right? Why didn't you say Alhamdulillah, we thank you? This would have been better for you. The jinn did this on the night of the jinn. This shows us that the Prophet ﷺ began his da'wah on the night of the jinn by reciting the Quran. And he recited Surah Ar-Rahman, not contrary to popular opinion, Surah Al-Jinn. No, Surah Ar-Rahman was recited. This also shows us, frankly, we understand this, it's understood the bravery of the Prophet ﷺ. An entity comes from the other world and says, come with me. And the Prophet ﷺ goes by himself. Of course, we expect this. One of us might have had a heart attack. The Prophet ﷺ goes and spends the whole night. No protection. He has Allah Azza wa Jal. No Ibn Mas'ud. No, nobody's there. He spends the night in the wilderness surrounded by these entities. This also shows us the importance of seeking knowledge. Even the jinn come and want to learn knowledge. How about us? Should we not want to learn knowledge? This shows us the eagerness of the sheikh and the teacher and the alim to go and teach. Here we have somebody coming, and the Prophet immediately responds. This shows us all good akhlaq about seeking knowledge and the benefits of knowledge. So what else do we know that happened on that night? Not much, except one or two other details of them. Is that the Prophet ﷺ told us some of the rulings that he taught the jinn. This is very interesting, that obviously the jinn have different ahkam than us, right? What they are, we have no idea. It's their fiqh. The jinn also have sahaba, because these people interacted with the Prophet ﷺ. There are sahaba of the jinn. The jinn also have their ahadith, because the Prophet ﷺ spent those 8 hours. Whatever he said to them would be narrated. It is their extra hadith that they have that we do not have, that is specific for them. And of the things we learned that the Prophet ﷺ taught them, once he was in one of the expeditions and he needed to use the restroom, realize in those days, this is fiqh point by the way, that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba rarely used water for istinja. Okay? Because why? Because it was rare. It was scarce. Even though it is mustahab, we all know this, but in their own lifetimes, water was scarce. And they did not have the luxury of pouring gallons of water like we do. And this is something that most people don't know, but this is by unanimous consensus that istinja with dry material is permitted. A lot of Muslims don't know this. In fact, this is ijma', there is no controversy. All the madhabs, all the scholars say that you don't, it's not as if you don't have to have water. It is allowed, even when you have gallons of water, it is allowed to do istinja with dry material and you are fine. Yes, it is better to use water and that's why it is part of our culture. But you should know from a fiqhi perspective that it is not obligatory by any scholar of Islam that you must use water. So our Prophet ﷺ wanted to use the restroom. He said to one of the Sahaba, go find me something to do istinja with. Go find me some material. Then he said, but do not bring back either a bone or animal dung and droppings. So the Sahabi did as he was commanded. He said, I found some rocks and stones, put them in my thobe. It was an empty area, so he had to go find rocks and stones. I put them in my thobe. I put them in front of the Prophet and then left him to do what he needed to do. Then I came back. I said, Ya Rasulullah, why did you tell me to not bring animal bones or dung? So he said, on the night of the jinn. See, now we know something else now. Now we get another tidbit. On the night of the jinn asked me, what shall be the food that they can eat and their dawab, their beasts can eat? Because they are no longer allowed to eat what was given to the idols. Before this point in time, the non-Muslim jinns, and to this day, the non-Muslim jinns eat that which Allah's name has not been mentioned. And they eat that which is offered to the idols. As Allah says in the Quran, that which you give to the idols does not reach Allah. It reaches the shayateen. It doesn't reach them. So the jinn eat these filthy things, the non-Muslim jinn. These Muslim jinns ask, Ya Rasulullah, now that this is not allowed for us, what is allowed for us? You have now made all of this haram. What can we get? This shows us another point, by the way. When Allah makes something haram, He gives a substitute that is halal. Allah never prohibits something without allowing you something that is pure and halal. Everything that is needed, food and drink and every urge, anything that Allah has made haram, there will always be equivalent that is halal. So the jinn, when something was made haram, they understood, okay, now that this is haram, there must be something halal. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what then are we going to eat? And what will our animals eat? This shows us another point, and that is in the world of the jinn, there are beasts as well. There are beasts that they have. They have their equivalent of camels and horses. That the jinn actually do have beasts that carry their goods and do whatever they have. So this is a whole different topic altogether. So the Prophet ﷺ said, from now on, every bone in which a Muslim has eaten with the name of Allah shall have more meat for you. Meaning meat on their world, not the actual meat that we have, right? And every animal dung shall become alaf, and it's like hay for your beasts. Every animal dung is now going to be something that you can use your animals to feed from. So this shows us, and that's why our Prophet did not want to make animal bones najis. If you use it for istinja, it will become najis, right? He didn't want to pollute the animal bone. And so he said to this companion, do not choose animal bone and do not choose animal dung. Because animal bone, فَإِنَّهَا طَعَامُ إِخْوَانِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِ. It is going to be the food of your brethren from the jinn. The ummah of Islam is so vast that not only do we include every race and ethnicity and civilization, the ummah of the jinn is included in our ummah. And that is why he said, إِخْوَانِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِ. Your brethren of the jinn, they will eat this animal bone. So don't make it najis. So these are some of the tidbits that we learned from this interesting episode of Laylat al-Jinn. And in the end of the day, much more is there, but we do not have any knowledge of this. What we have is enough that we need to know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue to benefit from the seerah and to find value in it. And inshallah, we'll continue another time. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.